Recorded live.
Welcome all, welcome to another week of the Head of Household, Household Stress Edition, Tuesday night Married Men's Conference Call. We have ground rules in place, just two. It's not Bible study and no profanity. Tonight's topic is why men hate marriage. I'm going to start off by saying I don't know. I mean, I think marriage is great. I mean, if you ask me, having a partner, having, you know, a better half, someone to be there with you, you know, and but there's something wrong with that picture in the eyes of a lot of men, because, you know, maybe they run from it, maybe they, I mean, who knows? I haven't been single in a long time, so I'm a little bit out of my element here. But the first question that I want to throw out to the group is, what is so good about being single? If anybody can remember.
Listen, if I can remember, the best part of being single was there was a man saying that it was nothing like new stuff. It was nothing better than getting some new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, having that freedom not to be shacked up with one girl, checking in, buying things, that freedom of one-night stands, weekend adventures, just let it all hang out. Get as drunk as you want. Party like a rock star. It was all great.
Yeah, but doesn't that get like a little old too, though? I think after a while, especially when you don't know when it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, after 10 years of marriage.
You know, I mean, the single stage to me is you're constantly taking applications. You know. Constantly, and I'm not talking about applications for employment, I'm talking about applications for women. You're constantly interviewing. Going out to the club or wherever you're going to meet women, you're always, hey, how are you? What do you like? What do you don't like? You know, always trying to find out if that person is the one. Anybody go through that?
I think this is a tough topic for this phone call, because there's two types of guys. There's the marrying type, and then there's the player.
Yeah.
Most of the dudes on this call are the marrying type.
Yeah, yeah. This is a very tough topic. This is a
yeah,
very
but
tough
it's,
topic.
At one point, I would think that we all had, you know, those, you know, as you said, you know, that player type. You know, at some point we weren't. I don't know if we were all, we all probably had the potential to be married, but not necessarily, quote unquote, the marrying type at, you know, because some of the stories you brothers tell, you know, I mean, you know,
what
I'm not going to say me, you know, but, you know, the stuff that I hear y'all tell, I mean, it's, you know, it
being
is what
truthful,
it is.
It is what it is. You just, you're a man trying to conquer your territory.
Right.
Hmm.
So
okay.
I guess it's you know, what we're talking about here is that, you know, you got to go back to, you know, as the host said, that he likes marriage. He enjoys marriage. But we know for a fact that the host was running the streets, you know, at some point. And, you know, that's not to put the spotlight on the host. That's just a
I'm saying,
reality.
Do you have pictures? You got evidence?
But I mean, you know, it was one point where you didn't feel the same way about the whole idea of marriage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we gotta, you know, get to, because there's some brothers out there today that are possibly where some of us were back in the day. You know.
I think, you know, it all depends on what your view of marriage has been. I mean, if all you know is a bad marriage, you see your parents in a bad marriage, you see your relatives. And, you know, those of us who saw good examples, probably, you know, not to say we weren't out there for a time, but, you know, we knew that at some point we'd get married. You know, but those who have seen, you know, let's just say other men get dogged or something like that, you know, they're not going to be the first ones out there, you know, beating down the door for the engagement ring talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good work.
And, you know, I would think that a single man reason, one of the main reasons for not getting married would be freedom.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, and even if you see a bad marriage, you know, while you're single, you view your family having a bad marriage or somebody in, you know, in your family, one of your friends, or you view somebody's great marriage, a role model marriage, it all means, I mean, either way, they both look like you're not going to have freedom because they're all with one person.
Yeah, but, you know, there's also the setup. Because when you're dating, she ain't coming down on you like, you know, oh, you're married to me. Most of them aren't.
Gotcha.
You know, all of a sudden you get married, and a lot of times if you don't know what marriage is, she got a whole different idea. And you know, you used to hang out with the fellas and all that kind of thing. And all of a sudden you get married, you figure that's going to continue. And then she's upset because you're going to go hang out with the fellas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lot of guys, it's a shock when they get married because then the woman changed gears on them.
Yeah.
I'm serious, man.
They changed
that
gear.
That's true.
That is a true statement.
Well, does the woman change gears or does the marriage change gears?
Well, you know, first of all, you're not married when you're dating.
Sure.
Okay? And most of us had friends, and you know, hey, when we were with our boys, you know, back in the day, there was nothing tighter than you and your boys, and the girl could be replaced.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got serious, and you probably cut your boys back a little bit or whatever the situation, but, you know, things change a lot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but the question, I guess... Let me rephrase the question. Does your wife change or does the commitment to marriage and that union change? I mean, you know, I would like to believe that my wife didn't change. I would like to believe that it would still be okay for me to hang out with my boys and do things that I used to do. But I don't think that the union of marriage will allow that.
But, I mean, most of us, you know, if we got married young, don't understand that. And most of us aren't taught those kind of things.
Okay.
And, you know, we're dating, you know, in our early 20s, and some of us got married young like that, and we don't understand that there's a difference between dating and married.
Yeah.
And then most of the women understand that.
Gotcha.
And when we first get married, they kind of, you know, go along with the flow, and all after a while, they're like, you ain't leaving me home with these babies.
I had an old man tell me once, he said, most men get married expecting that their women won't change, and most women get married expecting that their men will.
There you go.
Classic.
Yep.
Both end up disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's certain things that I believe have to change.
No doubt.
And I think that a lot of times we get in, just like you said, Andrew, I think a lot of times we get into a marriage not realizing that, you know, it is between two people. And your family, you really have to make a choice to pick your wife over or your husband over family, friends. You know, a lot of times we're not ready to do that. You know, case in point, a lot of times you have like a guy may have a female friend that, you know, it's just a platonic female friend that you have. You talk to every day, you discuss this, that, and the other, and now you have this wife. But you're still sharing certain things with this female friend that you're not sharing with your wife, and now it's causing conflict. You know, so there's certain things, or your boys. You know, your boys may say, hey, let's play Madden. you know, and you're like, well, you know, I was playing Madden before I got married. Why can't I continue play Madden now? You see what I'm saying? But certain things, you know, have to change, you know.
Well, I think it's a little different, though, because I ran into that situation where I had a very close friend. I mean, we'd been friends in high school, but I got married to a different woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, in talking with my wife at the time, she's like, well, she told me I'm kind of uncomfortable with this friendship. And, you know, of course, you know, wanting to make sure that my wife was comfortable, I addressed it. And one of the things I did was to distance myself from that relationship. But I knew at that point, you know, if there ever came a time where I was sharing information with this other person that I was not able to share with my wife, then there was a problem.
Yeah.
Because if you have a female friend outside of your marriage, and you can tell that person things that you can't tell your wife, you have a big problem.
You have a problem.
And it stretches farther than your marriage. It has more to do with character. But as for playing Madden and stuff, if she doesn't like you playing video games while you're dating, don't expect her to like you playing video games after you tie the knot. That's just silly.
Yes, good words. Good words. Good words.
Good
and
word.
You know what? Honestly, you know, I know that was a hard pill for you to swallow when you have to have a relationship. When you had a relationship with someone else other than your wife that was pretty solid, you know, that will probably be there. Like, just say if you and your wife didn't work out, that relationship would still be there, that you have to distance yourself from that. I think that's one of the disciplines of marriage, you know, because we all go through it. You know, we have friends that, I mean, even single friends, you know, that were, you know, as your boy, he's been down with you forever, but he's single. And the things that he does, you can no longer do. So you have to, some kind of way, distance yourself from that, you know, and I think that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, I disagree.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've never had a female friend that close. Now, I do have a female friend. She was the maid of honor at my wedding. She's a great friend today, and we went to school together from kindergarten to about fifth grade, and then we ended up reconnecting in college. But she wasn't, I mean, she was my friend, but it wasn't like, you know, like you said earlier about I was telling her things, because we were never in a relationship. It was never like that. But it was also never where I would tell her things about, you know, my relationships or problems or issues, or we didn't talk like that, but we were good friends. And, you know, today, you know, her and my wife are the great. I mean, they're best friends.
Yeah.
And that's why she was the maid of honor at our wedding, because she was my wife. She, in college, where I met my wife, they had become friends. You know, so I disagree with that, because I've never personally experienced, I've never had a girlfriend or a friend that was a female or whatever that I confided in and, you know, maintained relationships. While I'm maintaining a relationship, also, you know, talking to this female friend. I've never experienced that, so I find it kind of odd that, you know, when y'all say, well, I've known her since, I can't cut that off, you know, and it's like, it's just odd to me. I mean, it's just me, because I've never, like I said, I've never experienced that personally. So, you know, I always say, I just feel that, you know, when it comes to that, especially if it's a female, that's why I'm just like, I don't have no problem cutting it off, because I don't have a female friend that's that close where it would be a problem where we would have to sit down and have a conversation about, well, why Tracy got to go? What's your problem with Tracy? Let's iron it out, you know, because I still want to be Tracy's friend. It'd be like, all right, Tracy's gone. That's just me.
I have had female friends that were my friend and not my wife's friend, and I'm going to tell you, that don't work.
Sure don't.
I mean, it's true. Okay, and I'm talking about, you know, in my past marriage. That's why it's a past marriage. I'm telling you, you know, and it's a dangerous, dangerous game to play. So all of the female friends that I have now, my wife and I are friends with. Okay, so like, you know, Tony's wife, my wife and Tony, you know, and I would go out. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't call Cassandra up and go, hey, you know, what's happening? You know, I wouldn't call Christine up and say, hey, what's going on? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, that we can, you know, we can go out as couples, we can talk as couples. But as far as me having just a friend that's a female that's not my wife, to me, and I'm not saying it's always going to happen, but to me, you know, that's too much of a risk, and I don't want to go there. I've been there. Some of y'all are strong enough to, that doesn't matter, but I've been there, and for me, it doesn't work.
Yeah, but you just said something key. You said you can't play that game. Now, I understand that if there is a hidden agenda, that definitely can't work. But there are, you know, people that you grew up with.
Yeah, I met that girl at your birthday party.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people couldn't handle that because they were like, who's this chick?
She's
attractive. She's sitting right next to you, his wife.
You had the friend on one side and the wife on the other side. I thought she was like your cousin or something.
Close enough. I mean, close enough, but see, what happened in the beginning was a discussion. Because I have two of them. I said, these are my two friends, and you're going to meet them, and we're going to hang out. They're going to come over, we're going to all hook up, and we're going to hang out. And there's nothing going on. And then my wife, you know, she had to make the decision for herself. I said, watch how we interact, and then you'll see for yourself. And then she became comfortable with it. But there was no, behind the scenes going on.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So I think that has to, you know, happen, you know, in advance. You have to tell them up front.
Transparency is important, yeah.
Yes, but I, like I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, no new friends.
Right.
You ain't bringing home no new female friends talking about, yeah, we co-workers and we tight. That don't...
Yeah, y'all real tight.
Go out and kick it with your female friends after work?
No. Can't play that game.
But it's all just friends.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, the ones that have already been established, yes.
So is it possible for you, let's just say the girl we met at that party, if she called you at work and said, hey, you know, why don't you go out to dinner with me, and it'll be okay for you to go out to dinner with her?
Yes.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That is amazing.
And, but guess what? I wouldn't even have to call my wife. I could send her a text message, and she'd be all right with it.
Wow.
Text message.
At 20:25.
Yeah. I'd be like, look, I'm going out meeting Liz at wherever, you know, and I, you know, if you want to join us, this is where we're going to be at, blah, 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 and I'll be home XYZ.
Wow.
Because I said so?
Yeah, dude.
No.
Can I just say that y'all are talking about very rare situations?
Yeah.
Like, even Rodney was saying about his friend that he had since he was a kid and they reconnected later on. That's very rare to have a female friend that is just, you're just cool with. Like, it's just, that doesn't happen. It doesn't. I mean, even without a hidden agenda, you still think, like what people say, it just happened. It don't just happen. There's a natural progression that comes along with that, whether it's going out to meet that person, to go out and meet, just hitting it off, and a situation comes up that y'all wind up, next thing you know, like, laying down together. Now, that doesn't have to happen every time, but that's something that could potentially happen, and that's why you really can't have friends of the opposite sex that close. I'm not saying you got to put your blinders on when you see them. Like, I don't see you. You know what I mean? But it's still, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to sit back and kick it on the phone with them. Like, while your wife's down there cooking, let me go sit and holler at her real quick. Like, nah, you know, it's that just doesn't happen. I mean, that's not a natural thing, because things can possibly happen.
Yeah,
but the way that you're just describing things, man, that's the difference between what the host is talking about and what you said. Is the big difference is respect. He respected his wife and made her a part of the process and made her a part of those relationships, which is why she can trust him. But what you're talking about there, and of course, like he said, no new friends. But what you're talking about is something that separates your wife from the relationships that you have. You know, I don't think that if you're going to be in a marriage that you should have these types of relationships that are completely isolated from your spouse.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have, whether it's male or female, because you could have some male friends that are trying to pull you in the wrong direction too. sometimes you're not wise enough to see that. But when it comes to female friends, like in the host case, clearly, you know, she got involved. She saw it. It's like, okay, these people are like cousins, and you know, she's not worried about that. If it ever came to a position, or if it ever came to a point where you are sitting on the phone late at night with this person and trying to take the conversation in a direction, well, that says more about you than it does about the person on the other end of the line.
But no, this is what I'm saying, though. Like, even like you're saying, like,
call me
like,
up.
You're not trying. Like I've never cheated on my wife. Let me just throw it out there. But me not trying to holler at some other chick or whatever, it's just like things just naturally progress. It's just like, you know, we hit it off or whatever. You're sitting down, you're watching a movie together, and your hand accidentally touched or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it just was quick. And then it's like, wait a minute, how did this happen? How did we get to this point? I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? We're gonna have to back this thing up. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a, like, saying, like, I don't have respect for my wife or whatever. Like, even if I bring my wife into the situation, which I've done in the past, you know, I never was around that person by myself. I used to try to make sure that wouldn't happen, just in case something does come up. Yeah, you know what I mean? If I could take it back real quick too, y'all were talking about the original question that someone asked. The original question on the floor was what?
About single. What's so good about being single? I think that's what it was.
What's so good about being single? Okay.
That is,
okay.
I think that's what I forgot what I asked.
No, because I was going to say something about in a relationship. When you're first in a relationship with a person, my thought is that I always tell people, like, you're meeting that it's the people's ambassadors that you're meeting.
Yeah.
You're not really, you don't really get to know that person for a very long time until they experience some highs and lows. Yeah. If you just, when you first start talking to a woman, or a guy, you know, woman talking to a man, you're just not gonna come out and be yourself right away because you might scare that person off. So you're gonna be on your best behavior all the time. Like, I mean, for the first few years, you just really won't get to know each other. But then once you get married, that woman or that man even still feels more comfortable. Like, well, I got her now. She's not gonna go anywhere. You start doing things, or she start doing things that she normally wouldn't have done within that initial relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? First thing you lose is yourself. The man becomes last from the door. You're absolutely last. What she wants comes first. What anybody else might want comes first, and the man is last. That's not the same way when you're in a relationship just dating the person.
And why is that? That in itself, just really just hearing that statement just makes me mad.
I hear you on that. It's true. I mean,
I understand it, and I get what you're saying, but the simple fact is, at a certain point, as men, why do we allow that to happen?
Yeah.
And I know that I might be taking this conversation in a different direction, so I'll fall back if I need to. But that statement right there, that's frustrating, the fact that you just know single-handedly that they're going to completely change. You are dead last. So you decided
wow.
Spend the rest of your life with somebody. You basically said, I'm a hunter, but I'm going to put my bow away. I'm no longer hunting. I'm comfortable with making a home with you. But you know what? You last.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons that happens, too, is because we don't throw fits. We won't sit down and cry. You know what I mean? They will. You know what I mean? Our makeup is different. You know what I mean? We tend to just take it. We be like, oh, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, whatever she wants. You know what I mean? We just kind of sit quiet and just move about our day.
Yeah.
Whereas though they're gonna sit back and pout, not speak to you or whatever, like, what's wrong? You know what I mean? Like, that's how it happens.
But is that where that you know, like, we tie back to the topic of the evening, is that where that hate just starts to well up and it just starts to marinate and then it becomes just like, man, I hate this, you know, because you're like, oh, you know, whatever she wants, whatever you want, honey, you whatever you want, you know. Over a certain period of time, it's just like, okay, this is a problem.
Yeah.
I think it starts to build up. I don't know if it's a hate. Hate's a strong word. I know that's the tie to the topic.
Yeah.
Starts to build up because it is one of those things where, you know, we've talked many times on this call about being head of households and men with regards to our relationships, families, and things of that capacity. how we always step up to the challenge. We're not going to duck it. We're not going to dodge it. Yes, we mature within our relationships and our own lives, but we always step up to the challenge. So what becomes complex and complicated and frustrated in some aspects is when you get to a certain point where you're expecting the shoe to drop on the other foot at this point. You're expecting to get something to go your way. As Chris Rock said, you want the big piece of chicken. Season, you aren't getting it. And you're just like, wow, out of 100 times, 99.9 times, I'm going to take the baby wing. I'm not even going to ask for the breast. I'm not even going to ask for the thigh, not even the leg. But this one time, I can't get the breast. That doesn't make any sense. And I think that's what ultimately over time has had men just be like, man, wow. Because then you start to, whether you believe it or not, we've talked about this before, you're not trying to keep count. You're not trying to, you know, remember things, but you do remember. And then you start to say to yourself, this doesn't make any sense. This makes no sense.
Good words. And I want to throw a question back to Rodney. I mean, it's just. I'm gonna keep it simple. Because you had said something. And I hate to be going back over this, but you had said that you didn't have any significant female friends in your life, even before.
How?
Other than your wife, right?
Right.
Look at that right now. Now let's just say in an average month, you may be having some issues with her. And I'm not talking about confiding in this female friend. I'm just talking about, let's just say you need the perspective of another woman to help understand what your wife's going through.
Mm-hmm. You better go to church and ask the pastor's wife.
Wow.
Don't get caught talking. Uh-uh.
Yeah, but listen.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you don't want your business in the church.
That's what that relationship at work.
Yeah, and
with
I
the
would,
work wife? The work wife?
No, not with her. You wouldn't talk about the work wife with that, but you know, I would say that and I understand where you're going with it, and I do have and I think it's like what Andrew said earlier, it's more of a couple, you know, that actually got our kids' godparents, you know, it's husband and wife, and absolutely, I bounce stuff, you know, off of her, you know, from a woman's perspective. But it's not like, you know, what we were saying that, you know, it's a weekly thing. I mean, we're cool. You know, I could text her, but we're not going out to dinner. Or, you know, we're not doing that on the one-to-one type basis. I might hit her up and say, yo, you know, what do you think about this? And then she hit me back, and then it's done. You know, so I do have, you know, her, you know, the perfect example that I could utilize. And, you know, she is a friend, but as far as I think it's different, whereas, you know, I met her in college, too, and she's my wife's other great friend. You know, my wife only has two friends, or two really close friends, and both of these ladies are it. You know, so they're primarily, you know, my wife's good friend, and, you know, so, but they're like mutual friends. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
So it's not just like I don't, you know, like I said, they're not just my friends that, you know, I brought to my wife and introduced and all that or whatever. They're, you know, they're her friends, and we've all become like mutual friends.
I mean, that's
who you get perspective from when you have questions.
Yeah, and it's rare. I mean, and it is rare that I need, you know, the female perspective because, you know, I pretty much know women at this point.
Wow.
I'm not tooting my own horn, but I mean it's very rare where something is like, wow, what is this about? So, and I'm not saying that to be braggadocious at all, but I'm just saying that, and you could tell, I've done so much research on women and how they behave. I mean they're all the same, just a little bit different. So that's why I say it's very rare where I might bounce something off of her because, you know, I do know women so well.
Well, and I think that's great, but I gotta say this.
Yes.
Research is not the same as hands-on practical experience.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Two different things.
Yeah.
So I hear what you're saying. But, you know, going back to the pastor's wife, somebody saying, well, you need to go to church. Like, that would probably be the last place I would go because to me that information is biased. And I understand that, you know, definitely that may be where you should be going. I got it. But I'm just going to be honest with you. That would probably be the last place I would go.
Me too.
Because I would want to try to go somewhere where information is, I don't want to say neutral, because I don't think there is really a neutral place to get information. But that one seems really heavy on one side.
Biased toward what, though?
It just seems like that response that you would get if you were trying to get a perspective would be basically one that could really lead. It just doesn't, I don't know if you would get
the real.
I can't say a genuine answer, because it is a genuine answer. It just seems like it's heavy on one side. That's all I'm saying.
The reason I ask that is I really believe that we need to be accountable as couples to other people that can help us. And what my wife and I have are actually couples that we call our accountability couples that we both agreed to go to if we have issues that we can't solve. Now, they're not in our church now because we weren't in our church when we got married, but they were couples that were, you know, critical in our beginning marriage. My wife and I serve as that position for a lot of couples. And I don't, as a matter of fact, usually both of us will get involved because she'll have one perspective as a woman and I'll have another one as a man.
So what you're saying, Andrew, is that basically they come to you, or in the example the other brother gave, the pastor's wife, to get that ideal answer, you know, because they've got the real answer from the girlfriend or the sister or the coworker, and they're like, okay,
I don't know if it's my real answer. I don't even know if it's right.
Yeah, but,
it's our perspective.
Yeah.
A lot of times, my wife and I aren't exactly on the same page because we think differently.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk to the person. Usually it's one, and my wife will come to me and say, hey, you know, Susie called me or whatever, and told, you know, she'll tell me the situation. So what did you say? She said, well, this is what I said. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, let me tell you from a man's perspective what that would be. And there's a lot of times women will call. We get more women calling than men, just just how it is, you know. And then a lot of times they'll want me to get on the call because they want the man's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do think differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't mean one's right, one's wrong. It's just that we come at things from different angles, and sometimes it's good to get a woman's perspective because we think as guys. We can't think as women. If we think as women, something's really going on.
Yeah.
And I really think that you do need to have a woman's perspective with things because we can't even begin to think as a woman would think. As a matter of fact, if we really looked at it, most women think really pretty screwed up. Mm. I mean, compared from our perspective, it doesn't make sense the way a woman thinks.
Illogical.
Yep.
That's right. It's illogical. Now, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's different. And
yeah.
And to them, you know, a lot of times they think men think just so cold and harsh. And it doesn't make sense to them how a man can be so cold. So it's good if you're a man, there's times you need to get a woman's perspective on things.
Yep.
And you should have that established where both you and your wife can trust this couple. And I would suggest it be a couple because, you know, a lot of times that kind of stuff, when you start confiding in another woman, she's like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Taking notes.
Oh. You know, you really do have to be careful who you go to. And I would suggest that it's a couple that both of you trust and respect. Doesn't have to be in the church. If you're a Christian, I would suggest it be someone with a Christian perspective so they can take you back to the Word of God. That's what my wife and I generally will do.
But to me, that sounds like it's in the stages of seeking counseling, which is fine. Sometimes it gets to that point. But I'm talking about on a maintenance level.
Not always. It's not
okay.
Always people were, you know, sitting down with on a regular basis.
Yeah. I mean, because Rodney said that he understands women. He understands. He's done his research. He's done his Googling. He's done whatever he does, and he understands.
But see, Rodney's like a woman. Am I lying?
I know how women think. I don't think like a woman. That's two different things.
Things you come at from a womanly perspective a lot of times.
I would co-sign that because you're hilarious. I'm not gonna lie to you. Your viewpoint is different. Not saying it's wrong, but you got a different perspective.
Right, Rodney, and that's not a put down. I'm just saying.
Sure, sure.
You're so clean and pure and sweet.
Wow.
Wow. You did not say sweet.
Rodney, for the good guy perspective.
Yeah, I would combine that. I'm in on that one.
I'm in on that one, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you're just such a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ain't never been a dog.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't even know what a dog is.
Right.
He ain't never been in a dog house.
Not a dog.
None of it.
Yeah. I mean, so, but, you know, does that mean he's got a leg up on the rest of us?
Well, he might take a leg up if he's taking a leak.
I'm just saying, you know. I mean, he's been running he's been walking the tightrope.
I think he probably does. I think Rodney has a perspective, a gentleness that a lot of us guys need to have.
Yeah.
Rodney has a like I said, like a sweetness.
Yeah.
You know, there's a gentleness about Rodney.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a positive thing.
That kind of gentleness.
It is. Rodney is definitely that guy.
Yeah.
He is definitely that guy. But even that guy, from time to time, is going to need the woman's perspective.
Yeah, when we take him out and get him down and dirty.
You know?
Yeah, and I told you, it's rare. I do. And you're absolutely right, Tony. I do need the woman's perspective. And I have someone where I go to. But it's rare.
Yeah, I mean, because you're not going to understand certain things that your wife's going through, especially when the women are getting up in the age. You got this pre-whatever menopause or whatever they deal with. They have all these things that go on that we know nothing about.
Yeah,
and
we don't want to know.
About.
Yeah.
But we need to know. That's what I'm thinking. We kind of need to know so we know how to, you know.
I think we all need a female perspective.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need a woman that we can trust.
Yep.
That we know she's not going to run her mouth, and we know that she ain't trying to pull us away and all that kind of thing. I think we need a woman, and I think women need a man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good for relationships.
I really do. But you got to understand boundaries.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
I can't be like, honey, you know, going out to Red Lobster with, you know, Shaniqua.
I'll give you a perfect example.
Biscuits.
When we don't help out around the house, for whatever reason, either we work too long, we're tired, or we just forgot.
Or we're lazy.
Yeah.
Some of our wives believe that's because they feel as though we're showing that we don't love them.
Right.
Don't help them.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? But we know for a fact that's got nothing to do with love.
Nothing.
Zero.
They need to come to
us. I ain't washed the dishes last night, but guess what? I still love you. You see what I'm saying? But they look at it like disrespect.
Right. Yeah. They need to come to the class.
Yeah, we don't view disrespect like that. We just don't.
That's exactly right. And because men and women think differently, they need a perspective from man's point of view.
Yes.
Because I drop my socks on the floor does not mean I don't love you.
Exactly.
It means I drop my socks on the floor.
That's all it means.
Okay? Also, we have to, as men, understand their perspective. I worked so hard to keep this place together. As soon as I finish, you drop your stuff like I am your maid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And that's an even killer.
The way that it's told is really what it is. If your wife comes at you and says, "You always drop your stuff on the floor. I'm so sick of it. You know, you act like I'm your maid and I'm this and that. You don't care about anything I do, and you're looking at it like you're crazy. Now, if she came to you and said, honey, when you do this, after I've cleaned, it makes me feel like you don't care. It makes me feel like I'm the maid of this house. Is that how it is? And you look around and go, no. And if she said, well, when you do that, that's how it makes me feel. Then you have a choice to say, well, I'm going to try to not do that because I don't want you to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
We learn how to speak to each other without speaking at each other. You see, you can never debate somebody feels.
Yeah, feelings are facts.
Okay. You can't debate. If I tell you this is how it makes me feel, you can't say no, it isn't.
Feelings are facts.
Okay. When I drop my socks on the floor, it makes me feel like you don't care about me. Is that true? Yes, that's true. I can't stand your stupid, funky behind. No, that's not how I feel, and I don't want to make you feel that way. I love you, and you're my wife.
I think the key to it, though, is the way that you're posing the questions. Women don't ask open-ended questions with yes, no. What they do is ask open-ended questions that allow us to elaborate or try to explain, and then they lose the meaning or the point of what we're trying to say.
That's because men and women don't know how to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Because men think like men, women think like women.
Yep, you're right. I mean, my wife and I went through that today. I basically asked her a yes-no question. She gave me this long minute-and-a-half spiel about something, and literally I had to get to the end. I listened to it, and I said, okay, I'm going to ask the question again. And I asked the same question again. I said, it's a yes-no question. And, of course, I got her a little upset because she was like, well, wait a minute, you didn't validate, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I wanted to validate it, but I just asked you, just answer the question first, and then we can move on to the validation and the 15-minute story. I get what you know, and I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Men and women just do things completely different, the way stuff is posed. But if they were to pose that way with regards to the stock, you do this, it makes me feel like you don't love me. Do you not love me? And then I could say, that's not the case.
That's right. And that's how communication, if you start to learn to communicate with each other in a way that we can receive it instead of attacks,
right?
Okay, if
right.
they come at us with attacks because we've done it for the third time this week, okay, and they come blasting at us with attacks, the first thing you're going to think is, wait, I'm a grown-ass man.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my MF in the house.
Yeah.
All right, my mother don't talk to me like that. Okay? So we gonna get into, you know, and you know, then she gonna do something to pay you back.
The big payback.
And you know, Andrew, you're right. I mean, some of it's a setup. And
okay.
I believe that if because they want us to be honest with them. Okay. You want me to be honest with you, and I don't have a problem with that. But if you ask me a question like, how do I look in this dress? You want me to be honest. You don't want me to say, you look marvelous, and you really don't. You see what I'm saying? Some of it's a setup. So you, how do you answer that question?
You lie.
You lie.
Okay. Yes.
That's horrible.
And you look, you're a blimp.
And you don't got to get all that. You just be like, yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they're going, well, what don't you like? And then you're
yeah.
just like, I'm going to just leave it at I don't like it.
I'm
you
like,
ask
yeah.
me, I don't like it.
It makes you look big.
That is the wrong answer, Tony.
But you know, you're right. You're right. But guess what? The truth is the truth, right? It makes you look a little heavy.
Right.
You know? I mean, it is what it is. They want to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That size might not be the size for you. You need to get a different size. I you know, but
hey, baby, everybody can't wear spandex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a boulder.
Yeah.
See, that's how you learn how to be tactful.
Yeah.
Other dress you have? Man, I love the way that looks on you.
Back to this topic, why men hate marriage. Do you think that the average man has a problem with commitment. I mean, there's something in the marriage vows that's pretty significant. Until death do us part.
I think most of us take that early in life and have no clue what that means.
Yeah,
yep.
I'm going to spend a little time on that. Because I, you know, I don't really knew if I knew that I understood it when I tied the knot. You know what I mean? Because I'm in it for the fun, and we just have fun. But if something, you're going through something, I may not be the one to be as helpful or, you know, I don't know.
I don't think a 22-year-old has the capability of understanding that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't know about a woman, but I don't think a 22-year-old man has the capability of understanding till death do us part.
Yeah, you're right. I think you got to grow into that.
I really
do. Yeah,
you have to understand that there are different stages of love, and that, you know, first 6 months of infatuation that we think love is wears off.
Yep.
I don't care how fine she is. It wears off.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, did y'all see that movie Change Up?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got to hook up with that website Tony gave us, man.
Yeah.
But dude, in the movie is, did you see Change Up, Tony?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, they switch places. Single dude and a married dude switch places because, you know, the grass is greener.
Yeah.
And you remember the scene where he was like, you know, the single guy was, you know, switched into the married guy, and he's like, I'm going to finally tap that ass. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he's looking at her, and she got the little cute thing on, and then she goes in the bathroom and lets out some monster wad.
Yeah.
Okay. And see, I mean, she's like, oh, man, it's Thai food. Then she hops in the bed. He goes, you better turn that turd around.
Yeah. Because
when you're dating and everything's cute, you only see the sexiness.
Yep.
Okay, you don't see the everyday, you know, farts and warts. So, I mean, that wears off, and then you truly, you know, I really think a lot of people think love is a feeling, but love isn't a feeling. Love is an action and a decision, because there's plenty of days that we're not going to feel like loving our wife and vice versa, and there's going to be plenty of days that I'm not lovable.
Mm-hmm.
But if we fall in and out of love because of a feeling, today I don't feel like loving you, so I'm not going to.
I disagree with that.
Okay. You got the right.
I think love is actually a feeling. I think you're saying, like, you might not feel like tolerating that person that day. That's different.
Yeah.
Well.
That's all. I mean, I agree with everything you said, but I think it's just, you know, we mix in love and tolerance. Feel like you feel like tolerating that person at that time.
Yeah.
Well, I really believe that love really, really changes as we grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we really understand love, and so many times, you know, from a worldly view, love is what you can do for me. And as long as you're making me happy, I'll love you.
Mm.
Okay? Once you stop making me happy, I no longer will love you.
So it's conditional.
Yeah. But love from a Christian perspective isn't what you can do for me, but what I can do for you. And that's the real example of love. That's what Christ came to show us, what he could do for us. It had nothing to do with us.
Yeah, but
he loved us anyway. Now, obviously, we're not him, but that's what we're called to do. We are called to love anyway. When people, it's easy to love people that love us. There's going to be times and seasons in our lives that we don't feel like loving our spouse. There's going to be times in our life where, you know, it's a tough road. We're going to hit rough patches. And when I hit that rough patch, does that mean that's it? I'm done?
No, I think you expect to be able to work through it.
You gotta work
in a collaborative fashion with your wife or the person that you're in this relationship with. You know, I like to always bring, you know, common sense to the table.
What if that
doesn't work through?
What do you do then?
And what's that? With what?
What if that person doesn't want to work through? What do you do then?
I think you got to keep revisiting ways to potentially address the situation.
What if that says, I'm fine with the marriage?
Mm-hmm.
It must be your problem.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Because we're in it together, then my problem is your problem.
There you go.
I've heard it.
I've heard those exact words.
Yeah, I mean, but that's honestly what it's supposed to be. If we're in it together, I mean, there is no ours and yours. It's a united problem. It's
so
whatever your last name is,
it.
Problem.
How you got
pretty much.
She doesn't see it as a problem.
You got to address that. I don't even.
Give us an example of that. Give us an example of that. Because I kind of feel where you're going with, but give us an example.
I've sat with people, you know, we've sat with people that the wife is going nuts. He doesn't pay attention to me. He doesn't spend time with me. All I am is a sex machine.
Hmm.
That sounds like a great marriage.
All he wants to do.
No, I'm joking.
I am there is to clean his house, put food on the table. We had one dude that, this is what he said to his wife, assume the position.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I think what that is rooted in, and I think that, you know, Tony had this topic a few weeks ago, am I loving her, you know, her way or my way or something to that effect.
Yeah.
But you have to realize that when you get into a marriage, it's not about you.
Right.
You know, and that's easier said than done, fellas. You know, and it took me a long time to realize that. And, you know, I was being braggadocious earlier about how, you know, I'm no women and all this stuff. But what happened was when I had that rough patch, that's when I really, you know, I was humble, you know, because I did, you know, I've been married 12 years, but the first 7 years, I was like, you better be glad you had me around. I mean, I'm all that and a bag of chips. I mean, that's how I thought. And my wife, I'm glad she stayed with me because, she just kept just like shaking her head like, no, you are not all that, my brother. I mean, you all right, but you got some, you know, you got some improvement to do. And I'm like, please, you know, I have them lined up, you know, take me, you know. And I mean, that's how I felt. In my mind, I thought I was all that. And then until we had that rough spot, I was like, wow. I'm really, you know, I was ashamed of myself, ashamed of some of my behaviors. And, you know, that's when I learned, I think, what Andrew said before, is it's about a choice. You know, so I had to make a choice to continue, you know, how I was acting and my behaviors and, you know, thinking it was all about me and my happiness and all that stuff, where I had to, you know, start thinking about it from her perspective. And, you know, that's when it started to turn around. It's like, wow. You know, all this time, that's why we've been having problems, because I'm just like, I'm all about trying to get mine, per se. You know,
I'm not even
thinking about her.
Rodney, she said, what would you do if I left you? I said, you can be replaced.
You told her that?
Told her straight up.
Wow.
Okay. Talk about being self-centered, egotistical and all that. My head wouldn't fit in the door. I said, you can be replaced.
But, Rodney, back to what you were saying, and I think that, you know, a lot of times we go into any situation with what can we get out of it? What are they going to do for us? Because a lot of us have a lot of options with women.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We didn't have to marry the one we married. We could have married somebody else. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, the one we didn't marry may still be waiting.
Wait for her to mess up.
You know, calling you the one that got away. You know what I'm saying? She's still waiting, you know.
Wow.
But what happens in that point of courtship when we are actually doing those things, we're holding the car door, we're being considerate, we're buying the flowers and the chocolate and, you know, taking them out, being impressive. you know, showing them these things. Mm-hmm. And then once we get into the situation, we're like, okay, now you're my wife. Now you go and cook my dinner.
I don't think it switches off or on like that. I think essentially for most people, something happens. There's like a series of events that make you start to reel it back in.
Okay.
I mean, when you really think about being in a relationship or in a marriage or whatever, to even get to that point for a person to want to even remotely think about spending the rest of their life with you, you put so much on the table. But when you put all that stuff on the table and then people start showing you that they're not going to keep up or at least maintain the same level, the bare minimum, the basic level that they were doing before, you start to reel it back in. That's just common sense. That you do that with anything.
Yeah.
And I know that you're not supposed to kind of do it that way with regards to things around in a marriage and, you know, taking vows under, you know, God and all these other things. But at the same time, it's hard for you not sometimes to start saying, okay, well, all right, I'm not going to keep up this pace of doing this if I'm not getting back some of the things that I enjoy. And I'm not talking about just the physical side of it. You know, if you want me to sit there and listen to every story that you're telling me, if I come in and I actually got something that's pressing on me, I'd like to at least be validated and to be heard to the same degree that you would want me to give it to you. And again, that goes back to what I was saying. If I'm giving it to you, it's 100 times, and 99 of them I'm sitting there listening to your story, eye contact, asking questions, engaging you, listening to it, you know, only giving advice or responding when you ask me for my feedback. And then I got something that I need your help with and you don't have time for me. Well, that might start to make me rethink, am I going to now keep 99 or maybe will I drop that down to 92 times? You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you just start saying to yourself, I can't keep that pace. And going back to what the topic is, you know, men hating marriage. I don't know, again, hate's a strong word,
yeah.
But one of the things that happens is it's very hard for you to consistently keep a pace and just keep smiling through things. In every other aspect of your life, if somebody's not doing what they need to do, they get replaced, or you move on, or you voice your concerns and your frustration. If you don't see results, something changes. And it doesn't mean that you got to divorce the parent person. It just means that you basically may have to start to scale some things back. I mean, when you think about a job, you take a job. If the job is no longer challenging you, if it's no longer developing you professionally, if it's no longer giving you new opportunities or promoting you or rewarding you financially, you might not hate the job, but you start to grow a little disgruntled with where things are. You start to pull back maybe a little bit on regards to, I'm going to stay a little couple more hours and keep putting more time in because it's not going to happen. The rewards and the benefits aren't there, so you pull back a little bit, and you might start looking for another job. I mean, it's one of those things that in this, it's the same. It's no different. It's no different. And it's hard because you should be trying to work through it and talk about it and really try to establish a sound lines of communication, but it's common sense. We do it in every other aspect of our life. Jobs, financial situations, whatever it may be. But in this regard, you just got to keep –
it just seems hard to be able to keep smiling and just saying, I'm going to just keep giving myself to this person and doing everything, and I don't care if I get nothing.
What?
I think you're hitting on the point of this topic tonight, and you don't even know it. Because you said that, you know, something key that, you know, and all these other things, you're right. We do get another financial advisor. We do get another bank. We do get another car. We do get another job. You know, if it ain't working out. But on the flip side, when it comes to the marriage, you really can't do that.
You don't get another wife.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that easy. So that's probably where the frustration lies. It's like with all these other things, and you talk about it all the time, even tonight, about any other aspect in our life. You know, it's like, I don't like this flavor Kool-Aid. You go get another flavor. I mean, it's just like, well, no matter what it is, you change it. But when it comes to your wife, it's not that easy. It's not, oh, well, you replace. You know, as Andrew said, you know, it's not that easy. And I think that might be where the frustration lies and why we, you know, hate is a strong word, but, you know, why men hate marriage, because you locked in. It's like, you got to figure it out. You got to, like I just said, you got to humble yourself. A lot of men don't want to do that.
Hey, that's the thing, though. I don't think. And, you know, and I just speak for me. It's not that I want to change a wife. It's just that you expect things to be at the same basic level that you came in with. You don't expect it to get worse. And in situations where you're not maybe getting that, or in situations where you are giving y'all, just think, when it took you a lot to be able to say, I'm going to ask this woman to spend the rest of her life with me, and I'm not going to look at no other women. I mean, here's the honest truth. We're not stupid. We all know that what it means to get married. We know that it means I'm going to put my playing card and my notebook and my phone book away, and I'm going to really be truly committed and devoted and live and breathe and die for this person. But when that person starts not necessarily giving you that same level of commitment and things that are there, but you still got to be accountable. You got to show up. You got to follow through. You got to be attentive. You got to do this. And you aren't necessarily getting it. It doesn't mean that you want to get a new one. That might be the last resort, and that's extreme.
Yeah.
But it does make you want to say, okay, well, I'm not going to keep doing these things or keep going to these events or keep doing these projects outside, don't get followed through on. I mean, there's a million things that you start to say, I'm not going to give that same amount of effort. So, I mean, it says what makes men hate marriage, you know, and that's kind of what we're talking about. But I think it's what are some of the things that maybe make you start to just pull back a little bit within your marriage. That might be the better way of saying it, you know, with regards to maybe how things are. Because, again, hate is a strong word, but there are a lot of things that make you want to pull back. There's a lot.
Good words. Good words, and I understand. I understand. But those vows are really direct, agreeing to never leave this person. There's no valid reason to separate except for death. So we know we don't sign that kind of agreement when we go to a job. Because we out of there. The first time I check is wrong, see ya. Peace. I'm out.
So, again,
and it's a hard pill to swallow when we know that no matter what happens, no matter if all those things that we expect to happen stop happening, this person even starts to look different to you, that it's still our responsibility to get it back on track. And that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, I bring it back to I don't think we really have any grasp of that when we get married, especially if we get married young. I don't think we have a possibility of understanding that.
Yep.
And then next thing, you know, we got kids and you know, it used to be all about us and now it's not, and you know, it's so before we know it, it's a whole different deal, you know, because we don't understand that.
Yeah.
So we get married, you know, we get snatched all the time we want, you know, and all kind of stuff, and then we get married, and the kids come along, and we are no longer the number one, you know, situation.
Mm-hmm. One stunner.
Yeah.
It's just a shocking deal.
And sometimes that's why you gotta wait till you're ready, I'm thinking. But again, just like you said, we have no idea what you signed up for. I mean, and I'm not speaking for everybody. If I'm just speaking for, you know, certain people, we have no idea because the responsibility sometimes is more than we can grasp. You know, this person is used to be loving, caring, aggressive. Sexual, and then now they're not.
It's funny that you say that. I was at a marriage conference this weekend. Young boy comes up to me and in the middle of the conference and says, you know, I met this girl and I'm real serious and yada 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 and all these other girls I've been having sex with. 17-year-old boy, but this one told me she wants to wait and I'm ready and. And, you know, I'm a man, so I can handle it, 17-year-old young buck. And I went, really? Yeah, and he goes, but I know I'm ready. I said, really? I said, what does it take to become a man? He says, well, you know, I'm almost 18. I'm a man. I said, really? I said, when you go home and you walk over to the faucet, I said, when you flip the faucet on, what happens? He said, water comes out. I said, why? He said, because I flipped the faucet on. I said, no. Man, Daddy paid the bill. You flipped switch on, what happens? He said, the light goes on. I said, why? He said, because I flipped the light on. I said, no, because your mama paid the bill. You see, it takes responsibility to become a man.
Yeah.
Age. But you see, we don't, when we're young, we don't even know what we don't know. We can't even grasp it. Okay, and when we talk about, you know, we meet some little honey, and usually the one that we settle down with is the one that told us no. Okay, I mean, how many of y'all are married to the girl you met and banged the first night you met her?
Everybody, please say no.
Or at least lie, right?
At least lie.
We don't marry that girl.
True that.
I banged it. Everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We married a girl that put us through the loop that we didn't get it like that. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
She made us hold out.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, that's usually, I mean, you know, dude getting hot and horny, he's like, okay, this is the one I got to marry.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about marriage. I mean, usually when we get married young like that, you know, we get married to the one that made us hold out. Not the one we met and said, yeah, come on home. You know, I'll do all kinds of things. Sure, but I didn't marry her.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's what we hope anyway. But even then, back to the brother's point. Let's just say that, you know, so you finally did get it, and it was off the chain. And it was off the chain for a long time. And then all of a sudden, it's not off the chain no more. And you're sitting here trying to figure it out, because you're like Rodney, and you understand women. And you're like, you're like, I don't know who it is, I don't know what it is, but it ain't me. My stuff is always off the chain. So I don't really know what's going on here, you know, what happened? And I think that's the $64 million question. What happened? Why did it change? So when we say why men hate marriage, some of them do for that one reason. The intimacy changed.
Now you're getting to it, brother.
You see what I'm saying? The intimacy took a left turn. And you sitting there just like Andrew said, some guys are sitting there and they don't have a problem because they're getting everything they want. They're getting the clothes washed. They're getting the food cooked. You know what I mean? They're getting whatever they want. But now the wife's sitting back saying, I got a lot of issues with my husband. And I don't feel like being sexy. I don't feel like being intimate. But we don't get it a lot of times. And we say, well, you know what? There must be somebody else. There must be something else going on. How come this thing ain't the same? And it can, you know, and it can frustrate you.
Well, you know, we go from the sexy night clothes to Rose and Noxzema.
Yeah.
So are y'all getting to this is why men hate marriage? Because, you know, you got
because they heard the stories. Because they heard, man, you can get plenty nookie before you get married. Once you get married, it's all over.
Everybody knows that. I mean, that's the number one thing. You know, your water is cut. Once you get married, I mean that's been common knowledge forever.
Like, oh, you ain't giving it up?
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah. And not only that, the fact that you all got to get it from one source.
That's right.
The rest of your life. That's a hard pill to swallow, man.
Especially when you like Tony.
Me?
You know. But Tony, they chase him down.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had to chase it until I got married.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, man, I had to beg, borrow, and steal to get it before I got married. When I got married, it's like the damn tables changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now Tony, he was beating them off when he was single.
Oh, man.
Ain't that right, Tony?
No. You got proof? I don't know. No.
Yeah, okay.
No pictures.
That's right. See, Rodney was beating it off, but it wasn't beating the women off.
Yeah, but you know, again, and just like Peyton was saying earlier, it's some cosmic thing that happens, and we all know what it is, that makes people change. And a brother said it earlier, in the beginning, that's that ambassador that we're dealing with. And then the ambassador some kind of way checks that clock, that timesheet, and clocks out. And now you got this real person here, you know, and things are different.
You know, I think women feel like when they got married, they got you. All right, how many dudes sat around at 8 years old thinking about their wedding day, besides Rodney? How many of us? I know Rodney was thinking about it and the tux he was going to wear and all that. But besides Rodney, how many dudes thought about their wedding day?
I wasn't thinking about it. But I think that it goes both ways, too, and I think that,
you think dudes sit around thinking about getting married when they're little and young?
No. Let me finish. And what I'm saying is that what the host is saying is that, you know, you have your wife now, and she's walking around. You know, she's right there in your space. And, you know, it's like you said, you know, she clocks out, you know, whatever. And I think what goes both ways is that we feel that, you know, we've got her and that she's my wife and that she should be, you know, ready and willing to put out. And, you know, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to buy no flowers no more. I don't have to, you know, send her a text message or, you know, tell her I love her or anything like that. And that's where I think that, you know, back to the topic at hand, why men hate marriage, is like you still have to do all those things, you know, whereas, you know, you were doing, you know, those court and opening the doors and all those things in the courting stage. And it's like the host said, I mean, you get married and it's like you hang it up. You know, you hang up the romance card. You know, you're like, yeah, you know, let's get busy. You
might
want to be
dating our representative.
Wow. Where did that come from?
Wow. You on somebody's street now, brother.
Where did that come from? I tried to tiptoe around it earlier, but he just threw it out there, you know? I mean, a courting stage, I mean, just like the brother said, a courting stage is what? When we courting, who are we?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Courting, what are we courting for?
I mean, just think about it. You're courting, your apartment's clean, your car's clean,
no socks,
your clothes
on the,
are clean,
on the floor.
No socks on the floor, you're cooking dinner.
See
what I'm saying? You're inviting them over. You got the gourmet working
candles,
out, you know.
Candles
lit.
The whole nine.
You know
what are
mean?
We courting for?
What? Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm going to liken that to...
what are we courting?
Good
liken
thing.
It to a sports event.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
If you the L.A. Lakers and you playing, I'm going to just throw it out there, the Minnesota Timberwolves... You the national champion, you know, in a lot of regards. But for some odd reason, sometimes you play down to that whack level of play instead of playing up to where you need to be. I think that what ends up happening is, you know, both people got representatives out and both people are aggressively going at it and doing things. But at a certain point, when you start playing, you feel like you're playing the Lakers. You're playing yourself. But when you're playing the Timberwolves, then you start pulling back, too, and start playing down to that level.
Yeah, but see, we're doing those things for one reason. Is that right?
Okay, what is...
We're trying to get
off the wall.
Hmm?
When you meet the right one, it's not just for that reason.
No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. When you meet the right one, it's not for that reason.
It's
but what makes, again, it difficult maybe within a marriage, even with the right one, is the fact that you still want to play at a higher level. You know, when you think about when you was growing up playing basketball, you didn't play with the kids that you could do the moves on and you could beat. You wanted to be up playing with the grown men to make your game better.
Yep.
Hey, Peyton, let me ask you this quick question. Do you think that, you know, as we're talking about courting and the flowers and the opening doors, all that thing, do you think that when you get married, do you think it should stay the same, or you should be allowed to drop off a little bit?
I think it should be able to stay the same as long as you're still getting the same response. Because my whole thing, and I've said this a lot, fellas, and I know this is not necessarily the greatest thing, but it's balance. If I'm doing this, I mean, you got to balance it out. Because here's the thing. When I was doing it before, when we were courting, it was, thank you, I appreciate that. Wow, that was so nice. Now we married, you don't say nothing? You know what? If you don't say anything, and they say this all the time, why is chivalry there? Because women killed it.
I'm gonna tell you the truth. I cannot remember the last time my wife opened the door. Okay. And I get my wife flowers and things on a regular basis. Not, you know, because I want to be this or that, just because I want to let her know. Now, my wife, and I'm going to tell you, my wife appreciates everything I do for her, not because it's her duty, but because she knows that's how she can get me to keep doing stuff.
See, and a lot of women forget that.
That's right.
I think what ends up happening is, for whatever reason, a lot of women forget that. And
it's
that simple.
So much. And you know what? I'm waiting for it because I made the bed. I'm like a little lap dog. My wife runs the show, and she knows it, and she knows how to stroke my ego, and she praises me for every little thing I do around the house because I am not the dude to clean.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to take it back to the sports analogy. So let's just say you are a point guard in high school, and your assignment is every day to shoot 100 jumpers. Then you make it to the college team. And now your assignment is to shoot 500 jumpers. You find a way to make it to the NBA, and now your assignment is to shoot 10,000 jumpers. 10,000 jumpers. That's marriage. We can't be the same person we was while we were dating as we are in marriage.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, we got ways that you just, whether you inadvertently, you didn't say it. I'm not even going to say the reward. Points that you got out of that for increasing your shots up per day or week or whatever that number was.
Yeah.
You went from high school to probably having a scholarship in college.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And for balancing out the fact that you work hard, this is what you get. You do what you have to do so you can get and do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So then you took it to the next level. So you went from college and you made it to the league. Okay,
yep.
So now, not only is my tuition getting paid, but now I'm making money.
Yep.
So that comes down because
I work at my craft and I do what I'm supposed to do and I never take a day off and I know that there's a natural progression and I'm going to keep getting better, my craft is allowing, I'm afforded this opportunity. It's a privilege. I'm given this privilege. And I think for whatever reason, both parties, I say men and women, we forget that this opportunity to be married and to be with somebody is a privilege. It is something that's very... And it doesn't have to. It's not a given.
You know,
for whatever reason, we get into it, and it's like, okay, you know, all right. Can you imagine these cats in the league? It happens all the time. What do you think the holdouts are for every year with contracts?
No. But listen. Hear me out now. There is such thing called a league minimum. And just because you're in the league, don't mean you're making the big bucks. Some
That's
of
true.
Them are in the league minimum.
This is the word. I think this is the word I've been waiting to hear all night, is comfortability. I think whether man or woman, and no matter what it is, to be honest with you, that you get comfortable in life at some point in time or another, whether it's a car, it's your house, it's your wife, it's this, it's that, you get comfortable. You know, you buy that car, whether it's a hoopty or not, and you remember 2019, whatever it was, you bought your first ride. No matter what it looked like, you had that thing spotless, you had it clean, you had the armor all on the dashboard, on the tires, et cetera, et cetera. And after a few years or whatever, maybe it had a ding or something like that, oh, forget it. Somebody spilled a milkshake in it. Forget
you got
it,
sneakers,
you know,
in the back.
It's done, exactly. It's done. You forget it. It's not as important as it used to be. You get comfortable with the ride. And then same way or going back to the analogy of an athlete, you get comfortable with yourself. And, you know, why did you get beat when you know you're better than that person? Because you got comfortable. You said, well, this is an easier team. The Timberwolves are an easier team to beat. We're going to slack off a little bit, have a little fun, do a couple dunks, da-da-da-da. And next thing you know, we didn't lose. because we didn't got too comfortable. And I think for us in particular, for men, that the bottom line comes down to being distracted. And that's why we get comfortable. And I'm just speaking to, of course, women too, but I'm speaking to the men since we don't listen to the phone. But we get distracted from what we said we, from the who and the why we got married.
And, you know, the funny thing, the bottom line is we can rekindle that. We can make the marriage. There is no woman on the planet that can give you something that your wife can't.
Yep.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And we've got to both, husbands and wives, you know, get back to that. We got to get back to the fun days. We got to get back to, you know, chasing mama around, having fun, going out on dates, different things like that. You know,
right.
Keep the fun in it. Too many times, you know, we see people that, you know, oh, that's the old ball and chain. That's the, you know, and they think that the grass is greener, you know, because all they see is that little honey and all they see is the good stuff. But, you know, you can have all of that with your wife. I mean, that little honey that this and that, she ain't got nothing your wife can't give you.
Yeah, and what did Peyton say in all that what he said? It was a line in there where he slipped it in. He probably don't even realize he said it.
Well, before you say that, that's the best thing I've ever heard Peyton say.
Well, yeah, because what I was saying, Andrew, is that what he slipped in there regarding the jumpers is like you keep trying to get better. You keep bettering yourself. You know, as the host said, you start off in high school, you're just shooting 100 jumpers. Then you're in college, you're shooting 500. Then you're in the NBA, you're shooting 10,000. And what he said was that each time, each level, you can't still be just shooting. I'm going to just take 100 jumpers and you in the NBA. You can't do it. You gotta raise your game up, literally and figuratively, because as Peyton said, you got to keep getting better.
And the bottom line, your marriage can get sweeter and sweeter because now you have somebody that you can develop an intimacy with that you can't develop with the chick you met last week.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Right. So y'all go out and buy a basketball rim, put it in your driveway, and get your 10,000 jumpers up.
Get them up. Oh, man, that's a good word.
The real truth.
Yeah, get your 10,000 up. Hey, somebody make a shirt. Get your 10,000 up.
The relationship is developing an intimacy, which is a oneness and a closeness that you cannot get in a short time.
Yep.
As you start to develop a real oneness in marriage and the two becoming one, it is a love that's deeper and more rewarding than anything you can have by going from bed to bed to bed.
Yep.
I think go ahead, Rodney, because you're awake.
I was just going to say, I think if you remember why you got married in the first place, that date, whatever that date was, that it clicked and you wanted to get married and got married, that if you remember why you wanted to get married and why you wanted to get married to that particular individual, I think if you dial back there, every now and then, kind of a self-check, if you dial back then, I think you'll see at some point you got distracted from that individual. Now, I don't know if that's arrogance. I don't know what you call it on why you would do some of the things or stop doing some of the things that you used to be, because maybe in college you were the prime star. You know, you were number one draft pick, et cetera, et cetera. And so, hey, when I go in the NBA, I don't have to step my game up. I'm already the best. And maybe it's arrogance in that, you know, now that I'm married, you know, I don't have to step it up. I'm the best. I didn't caught her. I didn't wooed her. I didn't did this. You know, I can get a belly, and I can still be slick with it.
And Rodney, how many athletes go to the NBA with that mentality?
Absolutely.
And what happens to them? They're out of the league. They're overseas somewhere playing ball.
Yep.
They're out of the league.
Watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And out of the league in marital terms means what?
There you go. There you go. You got it. You got it. Out of the
That's
league.
Right.
Cause they came in thinking I'm the best.
You're out of the game.
Right.
Get your 10,000.
And you wonder why she closed up. Wonder why you down on the couch rubbing it off.
You wonder why you lock eyes.
Wow.
Why you over in Italy?
You wonder why there's a lock. Lockout.
We ain't in labor negotiations. It's a lockout.
It's a lockout.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that.
That's good.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm.
All you can say is wow.
Wow.
Well, what did he say? Get your 10,000 up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but getting back to the topic at hand, why do we hate marriage? Because you know, when you
it's
go
work.
To college, when you exactly, you know, I mean, you think you in high school, you know, you're all American, you know, all state or whatever, and you just shooting 100 jumpers, 100 free throws, and you know when you get to the NBA, it's like, yo, you know, we be shooting 10,000 free throws and jumpers out here, man, and it's like you know that going in that it's gonna be a
yeah.
lot of work.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the simple difference between being a junior in high school and a freshman in college. And what I mean by that is a junior in high school, you have the teacher on your back. Where's your homework? Where's your assignment? Where's your
yep.
where's your that? Freshman in college, you have a professor that sits in the front who don't say nothing to you. You can show up for class or not.
It's for a syllabus at the beginning of the year and says, all right, the end of the year.
Exactly. You
great.
On your own.
Yep.
You on your own. If you didn't follow the instructions that I gave you at the beginning, oh well.
Yeah. You become from Mr. Jones to Mr. F. Period. There's no progress report going home. There's no sit down talk. None of that. You done.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So a marriage is like, you know, there's you're on your own. You got to figure out how to maneuver and stay fresh and stay on top of the game.
Right.
Yep. And learn. Most
and learn.
Don't like to learn.
Yeah.
And that's. You know, that's why do you hate marriage? That's just like saying, you know, why do I hate school?
Mm-hmm.
It's because you don't like to learn. There's
mm-hmm.
no, I mean, outside of bullying and all that other stuff, there's really no reason why you hate school.
Exactly.
If you're learning, learning's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe certain subjects aren't as fun as others, but nonetheless, if you hate school, it's because you hate learning. You hate marriage. I know there's probably other opinions on the phone and talking about what the wife's not doing and what she used to do and all this and that. But the bottom line is, I think, because we're just talking about us, we're not talking about her, is that we don't want to learn because it is a learning. We don't know everything there is to know about marriage. We know what the last 7 years or 12 years or 20 years of marriage was like, and we can describe that for you, but we have no idea on what the next 20 is. We can say we do, and we can act like that, but that's just being arrogant.
Yep,
and unlearned, if you will, because at the end of the day, we don't know what all of marriage is about. Because if we did, we'd understand what the next 20. It would be no surprises in our marriage from this day forward.
That's right.
Yeah, and would you say men are incapable of learning? You know, some men are incapable of learning, incapable of making different choices.
No. I don't think it's incapable, Rodney. I just think that sometimes we have roadblocks.
Distractions,
like Ronnie said. I think there's distractions. I think that, you know, some of us get set in our ways.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm the man. I'm not doing that.
I take my son, for instance. Well, I can even take myself, really, when I was going back into high school. I look at my son a lot. I got better when I got about, mine got about my senior year. My son didn't, so I'm going to use him as an example. But getting distracted in the classroom. And every time, you know, from kindergarten on up, and I'm having parent-teachers conferences, and I'll talk to the teacher, and all of them had one resounding theme in three different schools, right? One resounding theme, and that was he's a good learner, he's quick when he wants to, but he gets distracted too easily. And he hated school. I said, what are you going to do when you leave out of here? You know, you going to college? You going to military? What are you going to do? So he found out the military, you had to pass the test. He was like, I'm not going there either. You know, he doesn't like to learn. He doesn't want to test. He doesn't want to do anything. I know he'll grow out of it at some point. But the bottom line is some men, I'm not going to put us all in a box, but we refuse to learn. And when we refuse to learn, we start hating things. We hate life because we refuse to learn how, you know, people on my, not necessarily on my job, but I was talking with a friend of mine, and we were just talking about business in general. And we said, hey, at some point in life, we realize that there's a game to the corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, and you can kick against it, you can fight against it, as I did years ago, and say, hey, I ain't got to do all that. I ain't gonna, you know, play these games or whatever. It's just this, that, and the other. And then I find out you're not going to go nowhere, and you'll be lucky to stay there.
Exactly.
Where you're at now if you don't play the game. And so you have to learn. Once you learn, you advance.
And that's what I was getting at, Rodney, is that some men are incapable of learning. And what Tony said also is about pride, because you have to humble yourself and say, you know what, I was wrong. You know, just like you say, playing the game. I did the same thing. You know, early in my career, I ain't doing that. I give it right back to them. But now I'm like, yes, sir. Yeah, yes, yes. Whatever you need, ma'am. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know how to play the game. And like you say, you move up.
Move up.
You know, and it's all about, you have to be willing to learn. That's why I say some men, because I was at a point where I was incapable. I was immature.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was getting at. I was immature, and I was incapable of learning and making different choices.
You know, Rodney, I think that's the key right there. It's the maturity. And see, when we're immature, we think it's about us. I mean, the most selfish human being on the planet is an infant. It's all about them. It doesn't matter. It's 2 in the morning, and I am hungry.
Yep.
Yep.
And as we grow, we hopefully learn that it's not just about me. And the more we grow, the more we realize, you know what? You know, I'm not all that important in this whole scheme. And you know what? When you start to think about others more than yourself, it really changes the game. And that's what maturity really is.
Sure. You know, that's why some of the men stay on the couch.
Yeah.
Because you didn't learn.
You didn't learn.
You didn't learn.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, it's kind of like continuing education. What was I getting ready to say? I think I lost my train of thought. But anyway, it's continuing education as a marriage, because I know that when I was 20, there were certain things that I did that I don't do now. You see what I'm saying? So we've changed, we evolved. There's certain foods that that I don't eat now. And I think that our wives are the same way. There's certain things they used to like to go probably to wherever, to certain restaurants and hang out all night, and now they don't want to. So we have to learn to keep up with the way they change. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we like to reflect back. Well, remember back when? Because I'm guilty of it. Remember back when we used to XYZ? But she ain't there no more. You see what I'm saying? She's somewhere else. So I got to find my way to slide to where she's at now. I mean, because actually, what is the reward in all of it? It's limitless.
Yeah.
If she's happy, guess what?
You're happy.
Oh, for sure.
And the one thing about it, too, is that you're getting at something else, is that, in general, people hate change. You know, whether that be personal behaviors, changes at the job, you know, with anything. Most people, if you ask them, it's like, yeah, you know, I don't really, you know, I mean, they you know where you are, you know, in a situation. You know how it is, and you know the pros and cons of where you are and whatever your situation is. So you're like, well, I know all the ins and outs. I know the good parts and the bad parts, so I'll keep this. Most people don't want to change.
That's it right there, because people get, as you're plainly putting it, people are comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm okay right here.
They're complacent.
Exactly, complacent. As soon as they flip the script and they change means I have to learn something new.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to learn something new because I'm very comfortable with where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to learn how to, you know, I hate to use the term game, but that's what it is. You have to learn to play the game.
Yep.
You have to continue to stay on your A game, like the host is saying, from 100 shots to 500 shots to 10,000 shots. You have to continue to up your game. And I heard Steve Harvey say this, and I say this often to other people, but I give him credit for it. And that's, if you're the smartest person in your group, then you need a new group.
I like that.
Wow. That's good work.
That's good.
That's good. Yeah, because your marriage can pass you by.
Oh, yeah.
And you be sitting there calling yourself the head of household still.
And she gone. Your family gone.
Your marriage done passed you by. Yeah, I'm the man of the house. Food better be ready when I get home. Yeah, it'll be ready. It'll be in the microwave, but I won't be there.
You know, but at the end of the day, don't you want to look over there when you're, you know, 70, 80 years old and have overcome life together with her?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, the other side of that is, you know, going through a series of them and being 70, 80 by yourself.
Mm.
You see, and I look at my parents who've been married for over 50 years now, and I've seen them go through all kind of struggles and different challenges as I grew up and all that kind of thing. And today, they're reaping the benefits of a mature love.
Yeah.
I see my father-in-law, who is 70, same old age as my dad, and alone. And nobody's there for him. And that's because he was out there and never committed to a marriage. And I mean, you know, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. He's got kids from different, you know, women while he was still married and all kind of different things. And at the end of the day, what do you want? He's 70, 72 years old, you know, and nobody's around him.
Wow.
Yeah, and the whole other side to that, Andrew, is that, and I say it all the time, tomorrow's not promised.
Nope.
You know,
and your health isn't promised.
Exactly. And you know, y'all are some good guys. Y'all got great wives. But honestly, you may not make it to 78. She may not make it to 78. So y'all are doing all the right things and everything right now. And, you know, we have good chats and everything. We try to make adjustments and everything. But the reality is you could be gone tomorrow. She could be gone tomorrow.
But you know what's worse than that? What's worse than that is becoming disabled.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
My father-in-law at 72 is disabled in a nursing home, and nobody's there for him.
Mm.
Wow.
You see, because we're all going to get to the point where we can't take care of ourselves, and if we haven't committed our lives and our what are we going to have? All going to get old. Fat. Okay, where are we going to be if we don't commit, you know, and really get down to what real love is?
Yeah.
See, real love is a commitment. It's a covenant that I'm going to be there no matter what.
Why can't my 50 be my 70, though?
Mm.
Why am I basing my happiness on 70 or 80? I'm not saying I don't want to be there. You know, I don't want to live that long. Of course I do, because I got grandkids and et cetera, et cetera. But why can't my 50? Why can't my 40? In other words, why am I striving every day as if it's my 70th?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is giving you a glimpse, because usually when we're 30 and 40, we're not thinking about that.
No. I wasn't saying anything against what you were saying. I was thinking about that as we were saying 70 and 80,
yeah.
That why can't our 50 or our 40 be our 70 or our 80? We don't know if we'll live that long, right?
I'll tell you the absolute truth. I am in absolute awe of the joy and love that I have in my marriage. And I am happier, and I'm 48 years old. I'm happier now, and it's unbelievable, than I was when I was 22. And understand what real love is, and real commitment, and real love is sacrificial love, okay?
Yeah.
And I love to do for my wife. To me, it's an honor to open that door for her.
And that's what he's saying, Andrew, is that basically you at 48, yeah. You know, where you don't even have to wait till you get to 70 and 80 to experience those,
yeah.
You know, those joys of being happily married.
That's right, because it's at 80, I don't think I can chase her on the beach in Aruba.
and you never got distracted. I can hear that, you know, things that you're
yeah.
saying. You never got distracted. Those are things that you were doing. And old folks used to say what you do to get them is what you got to do to keep them.
Never
yeah.
got distracted, man. You need to hear my story.
But,
I just got a lucky break, and God gave me another opportunity to make it right, because I was a pure defunct a-hole.
Yep. Yep.
I didn't learn all this stuff until I had blown it. I've been divorced twice. And to understand the preciousness of my wife, that she is a gift to me. And when I got married the third time, okay, and I hope you don't have to go through that, but when I got married the third time, I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor my wife as unto you, and I'm going to serve her as unto you.
And that's kind of where I was going. Not that you didn't get distracted at
And because of that, because my commitment was to serve her as unto God, not because she was worth it, but because this is what I was called to do as a man of God, has changed my wife into someone who just is unbelievably appreciative for the gift that God's given her.
Wow. Good words, man. And this is definitely the grown-up hour, so we can keep that thought going. Now, is it your commitment to her now, or your commitment to him?
It's my commitment to him.
So because no matter what she does,
that's right. Because
your commitment to him will not go.
I have blown it, and there's times where I got to walk away from my wife because she has purely driven me up the absolute wall, and I have to say, Lord, this is your daughter, and you need to deal with it. I'm telling you, because there's times that I'm just like, you know what? Because if I open my mouth, I'm going to say something that is not going to be good. But you know what? I've been there, and I've done those stupid things. I've said those stupid things like, you can be replaced. You see, you can't take stuff like that back. You see, I've done the stupid stuff. I've chased a cute little tail, and at the end of the day, all you got is a piece of snatch.
Right.
And it ain't, I mean, you know what? When the lights go out, it's just a you know what it is. I ain't going to say it. I mean, it doesn't matter. And you know, I've been down that road. I don't want dudes to have to go. I've destroyed my kids. I've seen the hurt. I've done those things, and I'm not doing it anymore because I've been there. And now it's even worse because, you know, chicks hear me say that and go, damn, I want a dude like that. And I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't want to crush my wife for a piece of snatch. What do you got that my wife can't give me?
I will tell you this, man. That's good words. And Rodney was making jokes earlier about, you know, my single life and how I used to run them. Well, I mean, you know,
pictures.
I ran
there's no pictures.
Yeah. But he's true. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. I did, and I even did a little running when I was married a long time ago. And when I got married my second time, one of my commitments was to myself was to cheat. Because cheating was my thing. I was like, man, it ain't working right. I'm going elsewhere. I know I got a guarantee somewhere. That was my outlet. So this time I said, that's going to be my personal challenge to myself. Be faithful. And this was before I started going to church or anything. Be faithful.
Hey, yeah. Tony, doesn't it feel good when you turn a piece down?
Oh, yeah. But it feels even better when you know you have the opportunity to score, but it's not even on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's not on your agenda. Because to me, that's the easy way out. But anyway, so that was my personal goal to myself.
Now, have you had to face that since you've been married again?
What's that?
Turn that piece down.
No. Because I haven't even gotten to that point. I haven't gotten to the point where the conversation even came up. I haven't gotten to the point where they even thought the conversation could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? There's no possible way a woman could even talk to me about that because, you know, they just – I let them know I'm married to death. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But so one day I had a conversation with my wife, and I said, why do you trust me so much? Why do you think that I won't cheat on you? And what she said to me was, because I know your commitment to God. And that's when I knew
that I was in a good place, because she actually saw the change in me, that I had a commitment that didn't have anything to do with her.
Wow.
My commitment to God was why I wouldn't cheat on her. Because it flipped. You see what I'm saying? In the beginning, it was just my commitment to myself. But then when I found Christ, it flipped from myself to him. So now I can, it's not about upsetting myself, because I've done that before on many occasions. But now it's a higher authority that I have to worry about. You know, so that kind of piggybacks on what you were saying, Andrew. You know, we don't have a choice anymore. We got to do the right thing.
And that's the thing, when you get to the point where you don't want to let God down.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Because that's horrible, man. I mean, I remember, man, getting in that mirror after you finish hitting and laughing like, man, I can't believe I just hit that. You in the mirror like, yes, high-fiving yourself. You're like, man, I've been trying to get that thing for months. Just got it. And you're loving yourself because you finally did. But can you imagine now looking in that mirror?
No, man.
I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. Standing in that hotel mirror talking about, what did you just do?
And that's why men hate marriages, because you have to be disciplined.
You have to be disciplined.
And being disciplined is second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. It just don't stop, you know, because it could be that one time.
A one-week moment.
Exactly.
A one-week moment.
And then you've got to be pure defunct.
Yeah. Yep.
You also got to be honorable and humble, too, because, you know, you got to be keep that promise you have with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one thing about it is, and you look at it, it's about reputation. And, you know, we always, at my company, we always talk about, you know, we've been around a long time. And, you know, we have a great reputation. You know, we're trustworthy and all that good stuff. But one foul move by one of our employees could wipe that good reputation in an instant.
Come on,
all
man.
That, you know, all those years, hundreds of years we took to build it up, and in an instant, it could be gone just like that. And that's the same thing with us. You know, you may be married 5, 10 years, 15, and then what? You know what? Tracy done pulled you in the closet. You know, whatever the case may be, and it's like, bam, you just ruined 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Prime example, the golden boy. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Who that?
Kobe Bryant.
Mm.
Think about that. Think about before that thing happened. Could do no wrong. With his wife, you know what I mean? On the top of everything. Sponsors, everything. That one slip up. He ain't come out like Tiger. Tiger had one slip up, but then it just multiplied. But him again too. But that was the beginning of a snowball. But
right.
Before then, he was flawless.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flawless.
Both of them. Both of them were
Kobe
flawless.
Was even more
flawless.
Than Kobe.
Yeah, flawless.
Like the all-American boy, you know?
Yeah, but see, you got to remember, see, Kobe's, people fail to remember, Kobe's was worse, see?
Yeah, he almost lost his whole life.
Yeah.
That's true.
See,
it was
they played his sexual experience out in court, so everybody knew he bent that girl over that couch and
Yeah.
And everybody was looking at her like, Kobe did that to her?
The golden boy?
The golden boy.
Where, you know, it was a cell phone, and nobody could get the real story on Tiger at first, other than he hit the mail post, hit a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had to read between the lines. That golf club came through that window. She tried to take him out.
Yeah, but see, the one of the really bad parts about that is the fact that your peers, like the people that you play with, your other professional peers in your sport, most of them doing the same thing. But you're the one that got caught. Think about it. Now you the one that got busted. You the one that's taking the rap. You know, they all family men just like you, but they, you know, it's a good old boys club. Everybody knows what's going on. You the one that got busted.
Yep.
You got to live with that blemish around people that are doing the same thing you're doing. But now you got dirt on your shirt.
Yeah, they didn't get caught.
Yeah, I mean, hey, man, you can go all the way to politics, man. You can go all the way to Congress with this.
Yeah.
Yet there, Rodney. Put that yet on the end of that.
Oh, yet.
it always comes out.
What's done in the dark is going right on the light. And then going back to the learning aspect, right, we see this play in day in, day out, on especially in our society, in today's society, with the Internet and Facebook, Twitter, and everything else that's going on, that we have so much media showing us this stuff day after day almost, different things that are going on, and we're not learning. Well, we ain't going to be the one. I ain't going to get caught. You know, I ain't going to be like Kobe. I ain't going to be like Tiger. I ain't going to be like DJ. I'm smarter than that. Again, that's where the arrogance comes out too, right? I'm better than that.
Everybody thinks they got a smarter way.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But
there is no smarter way.
I'm willing to learn. So like, hey, I'm not even gonna take a part in this. Or if I am, I ain't gonna bother getting married.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be an option. It shouldn't be like for me, it was an option. It was like, okay, you know, my first receiver got somebody on him. My second receiver, I got a third option. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna run the ball. One or the other. But
well,
I ain't gonna
shut down.
I ain't gonna get sacked. I ain't gonna be like Rodney said on the couch rubbing one out. It's not happening.
So Tony, would you say that men hate marriage because they have to be faithful?
I think men hate marriage because they think they have to give something up.
I think men hate marriage because we're not willing to exhaust all of the available resources. I know why he's laughing. All of the available resources to be able to shoot 5,000 jumpers a day and be the top of our game.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think we all can agree to that one, because I don't know if we all at the beginning gave up everything.
No.
No.
Gradually over time, we've given up things just to stop arguments and saying, you know what, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
But we tried to hold on to what you could.
Yeah. And I'm gonna jump out on a limb and say this. I'm purely gonna jump out on a limb and say this. I don't think anybody on this call married the wrong woman.
That's true. Well, I would agree with you, at least for myself.
You didn't marry the wrong woman. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna speak for all the
fuckers. I'm just saying.
I mean,
because if totally. I don't know if we would be on this call.
Right.
Tony, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't marry the wrong woman. They married the wrong man at first.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't grown to the point where, you know, where I understood things. And you know, that was the truth. And I think really men don't want, because you know what? When a man is out there, especially if he got things going on, I mean, he's in control. He got it all going on. And he don't want to give that up.
Comfortable.
And he realizes when he gets married, you know what, I'm going to have to give that up. I'm not going to be able to have, you know, three different chicks on the same, you know, on the line.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that's the real reason that a man, especially if he got a few things going on for himself, I mean, if he's fine like, you know, Rodney or Tony, you know, he's got, you know, business going on, you know, like Peyton or something like that. You know, now if he's a lazy bum, you know, then there's no problem.
Yeah, but there's still not a whole lot of substance to that. You know, because there's only but so much you can do. Yeah, I mean, there's really, only, I mean, you juggling three women at a time. Come on.
How many women you had at one time, Tony?
I'll never admit to it.
That's a good one, Tony.
I'll never admit to it, but guess what? Now I got one.
Yeah.
For me, and listen, for that one is the hardest juggle that I've ever had.
Player, player.
Wow.
The juggler three phone than it is one.
Yeah. Juggling one is the hardest juggle I've ever had. It's easier juggling seven.
I agree with you.
Because you guess what? With seven, you don't have to be accountable to not one of them.
Wow.
Seven. Oh. How do you keep the name straight?
It don't matter if it's seven.
Wow. Just call it, hey, baby.
I mean, you know. Look, we got
it's
too much technology for that.
Yeah, it's your day of the week. We call it Monday. But that's another reason, Tony, that you know, you just peeled off. Men hate marriage because of accountability.
Accountability.
Sure.
Yeah. You got to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be accountable. You got to have that badge, that head of household badge. You got to wear it.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And like a sheriff wears his badge. You know, if there's gunfire down the street, you got to pull your gun out and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit back there and say, hey, y'all go take care of it.
You better have some bullets.
You better have some bullets. And
right.
That's what we do every Tuesday, man. Just like Rodney said, man, you got to put some more bullets in your gun.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come to a gunfight with a switchblade.
Mm-hmm.
And marriage is a gunfight.
Can be at times.
It's a gunfight, man. This is no joke. You know, but the rewards are endless.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Andrew said. At 70 years old, you want to look to the left. You want to look to the right. She's on one of them sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Good words.
Great
word.
Call, though.
Yes, sir.
Good call. Good call.
Loved it. Mm-hmm.
Good call. You know, I don't know if men really hate marriage. I don't. You're right.
We don't.
Topic. We don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely don't.
We don't. You know, we just needed something to talk about tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, It was definitely a good call. I am going to flip this thing over to open mic. Please, nobody hang up. Hold on 1 second.